Hi, I'm Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we are here with episode 3 of
How Married Are You? All right, babe, what do we want to talk about today?
Today, we're talking about...
Cheers.
Just kidding. Today we're talking about...
Yeah, being prepared.
Being prepared. How prepared were you for marriage?
Yes.
Did you feel like you were prepared, babe? Short answer. Short answer. That's
no.
Okay.
No.
And I sure enough wasn't prepared.
I felt like I was. Yes. I was 100% prepared.
What? Really?
Yeah. In my understanding of what marriage was, I feel like I was very prepared.
I wasn't even supposed to be married at 23. I was married at 23, so I was not prepared.
Okay. So, are you ever really prepared, I guess is the question. Yo, we're getting a lot of comments.
I know, I got some of mine too. I guess I should open that up. Are you ever really prepared? I don't know.
Babe, this is your conversation. Lord. I'm so sorry to our Patreon people.
Okay. So, I'm going to shout out Dom and Diana Barrow. You don't pronounce the H. This conversation is all kind of started by, they recently, this past weekend, just got married. Congratulations to the Burrows. Just conversations that I've had with them both, or the conversations that I've had with them, I was thinking about like this whole idea of, are you ready for marriage? And I was thinking like, is there really any way that you could really be ready for marriage? Like, you really don't know what you're getting into. Well, you do, you should. I don't know. I just felt like I was just kind of thinking about back on Glenn and I's relationship when we first got married. And I often think, not often, but based on these recent like thinking backs, mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, why did I marry him? Uh-huh. Like, yeah. Why did I marry him? No offense to him, he's a great man. He's awesome, but it's kind of like...
Oh, you about to do the numbers? What are you going to say? This little pinky said what? What?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know what to say. I don't know what's safe to... Is this a safe place?
It's a safe place. Go ahead. Do your safe place.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, I always thought the man I was marrying was going to have, like, a college degree. Mm. He's going to be, like, business suit and tie. You know, he was gonna
be boring as hell. That sounds horrible. It sounds boring. I mean, if that's your style, you whatever.
Much there is, and yeah. There's nothing wrong with somebody who has a college degree, wears a suit and tie.
But if you want to risk your life, have an adventure,
marry Glenn.
Marry a confused rap artist.
That's exactly what I did.
That'll do it to you.
And the funny thing is, like, I don't think very many people said it to my face, because honestly, I think once people got to know you beyond that, they were like, oh my gosh, he's an awesome guy. Like, Yvette's lucky.
But when I first came around, can we talk about how when I first came around? Okay, so Yvette is her church was a very small community, but they were tight knit, all wrapped in, and everybody was always hanging around each other. And you could tell that they were very astute people. They were people who have accomplished a lot. Their degrees was stacked up. And I came around as just kind of like this dude, you know, who like just loved the Lord and like just wanted to hang out with her, you know. But I felt very confident in like I had as much to offer her as she did me. Do you feel like I was confident? I feel like I was very confident.
You were so confident. Yeah. I mean, does everybody, well, I don't know. You may not know. You may or may not know this, but Glenn and I started dating in March. Like, we were officially boyfriend and girlfriend in March of
2013.
Good job, babe. March 13th, 2009, mm-hmm. We started dating. In October?
No.
In August? When did you put the ring on layaway?
Oh, it was in August.
Yeah. Like, guys.
Pawn shop.
March 13th. August, which is 5 months later, this fool had a ring on layaway. Mm-hmm.
Because you took me to the store in June.
Oh my gosh, shut up. I did not.
All right, keep going.
He tells everybody that story, but that's not true.
We went to the mall and you were like, oh, let's go look at rings.
Babe,
I want to show you what type of ring I'm like in June.
You are entitled to your recollection of events.
Did that not happen?
Babe, I don't know. Okay, it happened, but I don't know if it was my idea for me to take you to a ring
shop. Right, it wasn't. It just was like, oh, there's a ring shop. Let's go in.
Okay.
And but I did not lead you there. And right. I was like, oh.
At that time.
I'm going to bag this because she want to go to the ring shop. But go ahead.
Here's my ring. What is it? So he was way confident. 5 months later, he was in a ring shop, like, you know, putting a ring on layaway for me. Mm-hmm. I, on the other hand, was not expecting to be proposed to 9 months after we started dating. I thought I wasn't going to... I literally just turned 30 last year. That's when I thought I was getting married.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I thought I was getting married at 30. So we were way ahead of... We were 7 years ahead of schedule.
Jeez.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
But... There are certain things that I wanted to accomplish before I got married. I wanted to make sure that I was established in my career. I wanted to own my own home. And I just wanted to be financially independent. Mm-hmm. And those were like three main things that I wanted to accomplish. And none of those things were accomplished before we got married. Now, like when we got married, I remember being on our honeymoon. And I think it was like day three. I looked over at him. I was like, dang. He's not going nowhere. Mm-mm. Like, I was waking up every single morning since August 7, 2010. And I was like, whoa, he's here every morning. Oh, whoa, yeah. Whoa. It was like a huge...
It was a culture shock.
I was going to say it's a culture shock. Yeah. I didn't know if that was the right word, but it was like a huge culture shock. Like, whoa, you're here still. Mm-hmm. So that aspect of not like being alone.
Yeah.
Was also kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, I feel like for me, this is how I know. Like, I don't know. I was nervous, you know. I came around. She was like a part of like this committee of people who were very astute and well accomplished. When I came around, like people didn't like, and this is kind of like a slight to them, but it was what happened. Like before they asked me if like I believed in Jesus or I loved the Lord or like my intentions. Well, somebody did ask my intentions, but they asked me, like, what do I have a degree in? Like, that was the question. And I feel like because she's so accomplished and, like, the community is so accomplished, like, they want to make sure, like, yo, you're coming in here going to add value, not suck this person dry, you know? Mm-hmm. And but it was like that. And I felt like, oh, like, and I had no, like, dreams or aspirations to go to college. Like, that wasn't something I wanted to do. My mom really wanted me to do that. I didn't want to do it. But being a part of Yvette's community and around, I felt like she exuded, is that the right word? Like, exuded this type of, like, potential, like, this type of man. And I was like, I don't know if I could be that for her, but I know that I would like love you and like serve you to the best of my ability. Like that was the only thing I was confident in. Mm-hmm. So I felt ready in an emotional way, in like a spiritual preparedness. And really that was the only way I was ready, like financially. Nope, I wasn't ready. Career-wise, I was not ready. And you knew it all. Like, it wasn't like it was like...
That's why I'm saying, like, yeah. Why would I walk into a marriage yeah. with a guy who's not established in his career, has no two pennies to rub together? Okay, maybe you had two pennies, but didn't have...
Like, you met me.
I met him, and he was eating peanut butter. He had loaves of bread and honey in his trunk. Did you have peanut butter? And peanut butter. He was living off of peanut butter and honey sandwiches.
I was making $500. $500 a month.
And then
tutoring for AmeriCorps.
And then his car broke down. And he was riding his bike.
Like several miles. So I had the bike, 14 mile bike to the coast.
Yeah.
And I had to catch a train down to Solana Beach.
And me and my little Chevrolet Aveo would go and pick him up occasionally.
Little skate.
Mm-hmm. But it's just like sometimes I look back and I'm like, man, wow.
You had no guarantee that anything was going to get better.
Yeah. But honestly, it was like the only thing that I had confidence in was his heart for the Lord. Like it was nothing but the love of Christ. that like just beamed from the inside out that what? Was like so affirming to me that like,
yeah,
because I knew that that had to be our foundation.
Mm-hmm. But what was evidence of that? What was like the
oh my gosh, the boundaries you set in our relationship, in our dating relationship, our courtship. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah, I was very strict.
You were like ridiculous. He was a jerk. And he was a jerk.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I would say stuff like,
why?
She'd be like, oh, just, you know, my back. Can you give me a massage? And I'd be like, I ain't going to hell for you. That's how I would respond to her.
And then he would say things like, well, if this doesn't work out, I know the Lord has someone better for me. Yeah. Who says that?
I was just so, like, okay. Like, I just was so okay. Because I knew that I was going to, I didn't know what, I just was faithful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just believed that the Lord had something better, you know, for me or you. But I used to say not just for me, but for you too. Like, the Lord has something better for us.
I never heard that part. The only part I heard
was, because you blacked out afterwards.
I was like, whoa, okay, jerk.
So let's go through the first, like, 30 minutes on our own and then, like, try to, like, fit in some of
the... Yeah, because I haven't read through all the... messages.
Yeah, so do you think, so I wasn't prepared mentally, I was prepared mentally, I think, and spiritually. I wasn't prepared financially, career-wise. Mm-hmm. What did I bring to the table? What did I bring? So sad.
You brought Jesus. I knew that you were going to lead us in a godly fashion. Like,
that's it? That's not a lot of hope.
I'm trying to really, like, I'm trying to really think.
But, you are entitled
yeah, that's what you brought. You brought Jesus.
Javier said, do you think laying down a fundamental foundation is important for both people being on the same page? I think so. Because I feel like, I think like our foundation was what? We both believed in God. We both were tithers. Like we both had like things that we both wanted to be parents. Like there were certain things that was like, oh, I like that too, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but we didn't like how we were going to get there. We didn't know. But I knew for sure you wanted to be a mom. Mm-hmm. Like, that was very evident in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And you knew I wanted to be a dad. Like, it wasn't like, he doesn't want to have kids, though. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? It wasn't anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think the foundation is that, like, we had the Lord, and there were certain, like, red flags that didn't exist.
And we knew, I don't know if you knew, I hope you know, you knew, but... I knew going into this, there was no getting out. There was no, like, exit.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'd heard you when you said it, but I wasn't, like, I was, like, I didn't, you know, like, commitment is hard for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, committing to a job, like, sometimes I get a contract for a sponsor, and I'm, like, I don't want to sign this because I don't know what it means. But, like, commitment is super hard for me. So I knew I wasn't going to try to divorce you. But at the same time, I was, like, man, this could really be it. This could really, you know... it's just those turning points. But I knew I wasn't going to divorce you. It wasn't going to be on something I did, you know, which is important. I feel like that's fundamental. Let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about what you brought to the table.
I brought our income to the table. I took care of us. Yeah. What did I bring to the table?
Yeah, you brought everything. You brought a tribe.
Yeah.
We didn't have any people. Mm-hmm. Your people were our people. 100%.
I'm going to cry because I love my people.
Yeah, your people. You got good people.
Mm-hmm.
Our income. You brought fun to our relationship. You brought what I saw in you and what your community showed was like, I was like, man, like I want to be a part of something like that, you know, for myself. And it was weird to me how Christ-like the community was, like how bearing each other's burdens, mourning with each other, like celebrating with each other. It just was like somebody needs something and everybody was on deck. It was insane. And that is really hard for me. Like even now, I like admire that, but I still fight against it sometimes because I like my space. So there's like even like Javier could probably attest to this because everyone knows I'm pretty much a jerk in like a weird way. Like I love you, but at the same time, like you don't have to be around. You know what I'm saying? Like I still love you though, but I'm weird about like, oh, when I get in a creative mode or something like that, I just kind of like to think. And so I like really admire that thing about your community. And I feel like I have to be more intentional about like letting people know I love them in our community, mm-hmm. even in your community. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest things. I remember on our rehearsal dinner night, like...
You cried.
I just wept so
hard. It was so beautiful, though.
I was like, why are you guys being so nice to us? I just did not understand. Like,
guys, our wedding was probably the most beautiful wedding, and we spent less than $5,000 getting married because of our tribe. Like the way everybody pulled together and offered their gifts and talents and spaces and everything. And so, yeah, that was a night where you were kind of overwhelmed by just the covering. Like it was like we weren't as unprepared as I think that as I look back and I realize that I was personally, mm-hmm. I still feel like looking back, I'm like, man, the Lord has covered us from the very beginning of our marriage mm-hmm. to now, like to today mm-hmm. and beyond.
So I think what you brought in has manifested into our community now. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. You
know? Because I saw it done, because I grew up with that kind of village mentality or village mm-hmm. whatever, I can't imagine not having that for my own family.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm so invested in making memories or, you know, being together often, you know, and investing in those relationships that we have. Because I feel like I don't see how you do it without it.
Yeah, yeah, very true. RJ asked, did her tribe accept Glenn right away?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think the important people did. I think it's because people know me. Mm-hmm. And I don't just... Like, Glenn was literally the first guy I brought home.
Yeah.
Glenn was my first boyfriend. Oh, my gosh. We don't have to go there. Anyways.
I mean, just because... You
know. Babe, anyways. So, yeah, I brought Glenn home. He had dreads. He had this long, like, he didn't, like... This is actually pretty short for Glenn, his beard, for those of you who are watching the podcast. But he used to have his beard, like Santa Claus. It was kind of disturbing.
Yeah. But they accepted me.
But they accepted him because they saw exactly what I saw in him.
And I couldn't believe how confident I was because I'm usually not that way. I'm usually very
babe,
like...
Babe, your walk
yeah, I was very
is one
like,
of my favorite things.
I was like, look, this is what it is. I am. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't care. I wasn't trying to impress your brothers. Like, I didn't care about impressing your mom or your dad. Like, I just didn't care. I just was like, this is who I am. Right? Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that. That was very freeing for me. Because for a lot, like, relationships before, was like, I'd have
you're
to kind of like, here's a rose. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you want to go?
Oh, so play? I missed out on the rose? No, I'm just kidding.
Your mom missed out.
Oh, you would give the roses to the parents? Mom.
Yeah.
You didn't try hard.
I didn't try hard at all. She was like, oh, I'm making beef tonight. I was like, I don't eat beef. Yeah, it's very rude. Do you want to go ahead and hop into some of these questions?
Okay, yeah, let's see what people have been saying. So on Instagram, follow me at Mrs. Melanin. Mm-hmm. I asked a question. And let me look. Okay, so the first question I asked is I asked people, I said, so how did you feel when you first got married? Did you feel like you were so prepared or you weren't prepared at all? And currently on my poll, we also have it on Glenn's Instagram, but currently on my poll, 40% of people said they were very much so prepared, and 60% of people said that they were not at all prepared, which is actually kind of interesting to me that there were people that were like, yeah, I was so prepared.
Yeah.
Because I want to know, what did you do to prepare?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we did take our premarital classes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that prepared us somewhat. Actually, we had some really good things happen, some really good breakthroughs. Because one of the biggest things in our premarital that we were having issues with was, like, Glenn wanted to live in an apartment, and I was more so looking for a house situation. I never really, we did live in an apartment when I was a little girl at one point, but I was really young. I don't really remember it that much. And we couldn't figure out why that was such a big deal. And so that was one of the things that we really broke through in premarital. I remember crying on that, during that conversation.
Yeah, but you was always crying, I feel like.
Okay. I have a lot of responses, which I really appreciate you guys responding. Okay, so, oh yeah, another part of the question that I asked was, if you're not married, then what are you waiting for in order to get married?
Yeah.
And this person said, I haven't even read it, so I'm reading it out loud for the first time. I feel like I haven't accomplished a lot of my goals to be a good wife. Plus, I know the kind of person I am. I'm very stubborn and like doing things by myself my way. I don't want to waste a good man's time by not being submissive enough. P.S. I'm only 20.
Mm. So, submission. Do you feel like you were prepared to be submissive in the relationship? And what does that even look like for you?
I don't know. I definitely wasn't prepared. Because I'm always like the person that, oh, if I want to do this, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't really like to have to discuss my desire to do something
with someone
you
else
to see that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely something I was not prepared for in marriage.
Was.
Huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Huh?
Nothing. What?
Are you trying to say? Currently, I'm.
Well, I'm just saying, like, sometimes you pull the trigger.
I do.
Like, you'll pull a trigger and just be like, and I'll be like,
but it's not
babe, how much is that?
Babe,
and you'll be
on.
Like. You do that thing with your mouth and be like, babe, just give me a hug. Anyway.
There's some things aren't necessary to discuss. Like, who cares?
Okay.
You know I pay attention to our funds. I'm not irresponsible.
Sure.
If I spent the money, then you know we have it.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways.
Please don't listen to her.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Don't listen to me. That's not good.
Yeah.
That wasn't good stuff. But,
yeah, that was not good info.
That's hard. That's hard. Having to discuss things. One time I booked a vacation without him because
mm-hmm.
I was on spring break and I wanted to do something. And what were you doing? Oh, you were going on tour?
Yeah, like she was upset. So let's talk about submission, okay?
Okay,
so submission we're talking about, do you feel like you were prepared to be submissive or taught to be submissive?
You know, I think I always observed...
Now be careful because your mom could watch.
Shut up. That's exactly what I was about to talk about. I think I've always observed my mom actually being submissive.
Mm.
my brain caught up to it. okay, so I've always observed it. But I don't know if I necessarily liked it.
Mm.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but it's true. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I necessarily liked how I observed it being done.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of was kind of like he made the decision and that was it. Like my dad made the decision. That was it. And that's not what I really wanted. I kind of wanted there to be a little bit of discussion about things. And then we go from there. I don't know. Did I have good... I mean, yeah. I don't know if it was explicitly taught to me, but I did observe it happening.
Yeah. I don't feel like I could talk about this.
Why?
Am I allowed to say? Like, what do I believe about submission?
Go ahead. Yeah, you're allowed
to say.
Yeah,
so You know, it's very, like, you know, feminist movement right now. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever.
You're trying to go to war with the
feminists.
Leave
it in the comments below.
So, yeah, I feel like it is my responsibility as the husband to lead. Now, I could say man, but, like, every man isn't a husband. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't want to just say, you know. I feel like it's my responsibility to have the, like, okay, this is where we're going, right? This is where the vision is headed. And this is where we see ourselves in this many years, right? Mm-hmm. And because we see ourselves here, these are the next moves we should make. Mm-hmm. Or this is why I don't think we should do this. Or this is why I think we should make this move. And then it's, of course, it's, everything's up for discussion. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nothing where I feel like I say something and it goes. But sometimes I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
It's duh. Like, I don't feel like it's like a discussion. You know what I mean? But I feel like sometimes I'm fighting against whatever desires, you know, you may, you may want. And I constantly have to, like, you know, tell you the vision over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for me because it reminds me a lot of, like, being, like, a manager. Like, or, like, doing, like, stuff with, what up, Harry? Doing stuff with, like, other people in mind. Like leading, like, a organization or, like, a team. Like, it's very much like a team. Oftentimes, I have to come back and say, okay, this is why we're going to do this. We're going to do this right here. And sometimes you're like, okay, so when can we move again? I'm like, okay, we can move over here. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, but I don't like this one spot on the wall and the carpet is bugging me and this and this and this. I'm like, that's all good, but that don't really get fixed until over here, you know? And so we have different visions sometimes, a lot.
No, I think the vision is clear. Mm-hmm. I think what is that I just, like, Glenn constantly has the vision, like, in the forefront of his mind, whereas I have it, like, more back here in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of times, and because I think, too, Glenn's always working on the vision. Do you, would you agree? Like, everything you do is toward the vision, whereas
I'm very calculated nowadays.
Whereas I...
Which is a long way from $500. You know what I'm saying? That would have no calculation.
You're the breadwinner right now. I just brought in $125 today.
Okay, man. See, you asked me if you were old school, and then you did the Cabbage Patch.
Okay. Anyway. What was I saying? So I'm at home with the kids, and so I'm just looking around at, like, some immediate needs or desires that maybe aren't necessarily needs, but, and so I get distracted easy. In teaching, we would call this birdwalking. Like, when you're teaching a lesson, it's basically like you have this concept that you have to teach, and then the kids, they know how to be like, Miss Henry, did you see Scandal this weekend or yesterday or whatever? And so they get you to go talk about that. It's like a birdwalking type thing. And so that's what happens with us. Glenn is always having, like, the vision in front of him, and everything he's doing is kind of working toward that. Whereas I am over here just la-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But I think now that he's starting to pull me in a little bit more, or I'm allowing myself to be pulled in, because I think he's been trying to pull me in for a long time, hopefully the vision stays more, it's coming more frontal.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I often do have to be reminded, like, and he'll tell me, this is just no. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important for him, for someone who's going to lead our household, for him to always be conscientious of our vision and moving in that direction is very important. And it's very, to me, admirable, because I just want to be able to, I don't know, I just want to be able to trust his lead. And I trust him. I trust that he's allowing the Lord to lead him, and therefore I have no problem following suit.
Mm-hmm. I feel like as the husband, I'm not only leading you as, like, you submit to me. I feel like I'm leading our children, their children, the children after them, our community, like pillar. Like, that's what I feel like. I'm leading our community, right? So As a community of men, we're all moving toward this direction. As a community of families, we're all moving toward this one direction, right? Mm-hmm. Give all glory to God, spread the gospel. You know what I'm saying? Like, be the light of the world, all of that. You know what I mean? So I feel like in that mode, it's like, okay, what are the things that we want to accomplish as a family? What are the type of things we want to do? What type of things do we dream about? What type of people are we as, like, you took my last name, as the Henry family? What type of people are we? As a husband, I now get to, like, dictate what that looks like. I now get to say, okay, this is the sculpture. These are the people we are as these type of men, these type of women. We don't do this, we do this. You know, we are problem solvers. We're the solution to the problem, we're not the part of the problem, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, when I'm thinking about this, it's like, as a leader, like, I'm looking, like, ahead. And I'm allowing you to, like, tell me, like, hey, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Like, I'm always including you in everything. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you don't get a say, mm-hmm. right? I think there's a difference between, and I learned this from Pat, and praise God for this man, because he told me this, and I was like, what? So before I had kids, he's telling his daughter something, and I'm like, man, she just listens to you. And he's like, yeah, because there's a difference between giving a command and a demand. And I was like, well, what's the difference? He was like, well, you have to figure that out. You know, and it was something where I've had to actually control my voice and say, excuse me, we're not doing that today. Like, you could tell by my tone that I'm giving you a command. This is a command, not you per se, mm-hmm. but even
you've used that tone.
Yeah, that. Yeah, we're not doing that. yeah, and so, but it's if I'm demanding something from you, it's more derogatory and it's more like disrespectful, you know. And sometimes I talk to the kids in a very demanding way, but I need to speak more in a commanding tone, you know, because like a commander, right? If you're on a drill team, a commander calls out which direction the drill team is going. It tells people which flank to, you know, turn and stuff like that, and it leads a troop. I'm not demanding you something as your superior. I'm commanding you as your leader, you know? And so that's kind of what I think about being submissive. But I don't think that is a slight to you. You know, you are my, like, the wind. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're the motivation, the push. You are everything that tells me, like, okay, I'm doing a good job. I'm not doing a good job. I need to do this. I need to wash the car. I need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so steadily I keep you in my ear, in my mind, when I'm making these decisions.
To be honest with you, like, I feel heard. Mm. Like, just because I'm submissive doesn't mean that I'm like this wimp with no voice mm-hmm. type person. Like, I do believe that we are a team. And I do believe that we discuss things and you bounce ideas off of me and you don't just tell me this is how it's going to be. You kind of, you know me, mm-hmm. you know our family. And so you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like submission is necessarily me just, you know, whimsically following suit to whatever you have going on.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing the worst thing I could do is lead you astray.
Exactly.
You know, like lead you into danger mm-hmm. or harm, you know. And so that comes with like trust. And so the reason why you submit is because you trust me.
Trust you.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's big. Mm-hmm. And that's more of a like, that makes me feel good that you trust me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. We're going to answer a couple more questions and then we're going to end. Because you know what I want to do is I actually want to go through and answer these.
Personally,
like while we're sitting here.
Okay.
Any more questions from the Patreon Facebook group? Let me check real quick. Sarah just asked, how can you determine if a guy is worth submitting to? In other words, how do you know he's a leader and not putting on?
I think that camera just went off again. I really think that I think that's a Holy Spirit thing.
It's a discernment.
It takes some discernment there. Because while I never had a boyfriend before Glenn, I did talk to a couple of guys before Glenn. And when I think about those guys before Glenn to Glenn, it's just, it was completely obvious. Like, and to be honest with you,
Say it.
I want to say, and to be honest with you, like, a couple of them had more, like, solid jobs or whatever. They had, like, you know, some of the other things that you would think, oh, this tall, guy is.
They had everything. But sense.
They had things where it was like, okay, you know, financially we'd be good, or, you know, we'd, whatever. But when I think about, like, that, honestly, the main thing that got Glenn, that got this ring on my finger, was his foundation in the Lord. And, like, it was just, it was obvious. And so I think that the Lord will give you a sense of discernment when it comes to that. He will show you their heart for him. They will show you their heart for you, and you will have no way of denying it. I think. I mean, I don't want to say that that's true for everyone, but it's definitely true for me. Like, I just knew we were going to be all right. Mm. I knew we were going to be good. And I mean, we'll be celebrating 8 years in August. But, and I know we have so much further to go, but we've seen good and bad seasons. Like, we've seen some good days and some not so good days.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, that is, like, for men who don't have anything to offer, I don't think that's, like, a good way to start.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have loved to have more to offer you.
I was gonna say, like, if Anaya brought you home.
I'm like, boy, what you doing with your life, bruh? What's the plan? What's going on with you? Do you need a job? Because I can hire you. Is there no getting rid of you?
Are you really here to stay?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
We need to figure this all out. Because you need to take care of my daughter.
Whoa.
That's so funny. Yeah, I don't know. Because if Anaya brought you home to me. Mm.
If Anaya brought me home to me, I'd be like, ooh, you remind me of myself.
Can we find someone else?
Which stage are you and me?
Yeah. Which stage?
I think so many people want to get married, like want to have a wedding, but not necessarily want to get married. You know what I mean? Like want to be married and serve. And, because like marriage is by definition like a union. Right. And it's making a new person together. Mm. Right. So that means the old person has to die. So you have to change. Like you have to. That's the only way you're going to survive is change.
So would you say, because I saw someone post this the other day and I was like, like that when you got married, you're now complete or you're, you know, like. But it's kind of more like you are becoming a new person. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's, you know, like people often talk about how we are goals and they're looking for their belief or their Yvette. But like, we wasn't who we was. We wasn't who we are. Like you helped me become me at this point and I helped and vice versa. So without each other, without that like rough, like we had like a really rough 4 to 6 years.
Dang, he had that long of a rough time. I wasn't having that rough time.
Yeah, I mean, like we were together and we were married, but we were back to back. We were both working on our own things. We had no vision. We had no plan. It was a rough sex life. I was stay-at-home dad. You were working, oblivious. It was so hard. And the thing is, like it was hard for me, but I had no plans of leaving. I was just like, oh, this is gonna suck forever. I was like, this is gonna suck. Because I did not want to leave, but I just was like, this is going to be hard. Like, the thing I kept having in my head was like, yo, anybody who is married, you get out of it what you put in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, you can go find somebody else who's closer to the end piece that you want, but you also have this person right next to you that you can work it out with. You know what I'm saying? And, like, the more you invest in your spouse, the more you get in return. I just believe that. Or the more you fall in love with them and don't desire the things that you used to desire anymore. Mm.
you know. So there is a possibility to be prepared, but it's okay to not have it all together and to get it together as you go.
And you can be prepared not to be prepared.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
Like if you go into the marriage expecting there to be like a learning curve of each other or whatever, I think that's good to know too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I was very prepared, but I do feel like, I feel like we're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Now, I mean, well, we already 8 years in, invested. It's been a while.
8 years.
We have master's degrees in each other.
I mean, he has a master's degree in me. I might just have a bachelor's and associate's. Glenn's a hard guy to figure out, y'all.
I'm
like,
very confused.
Seriously, he just said 4 to 6 years of roughness. We've been married 8. I didn't know it was that. That's like, dang.
It's the majority of our marriage.
That's the majority of our marriage.
Yeah.
That's so sorry for you.
I mean, I'm here, you know. No. It wasn't horrible, but it was just was like, oh, you know. And, you know, it was self-admitted. Like, you were, like, you just was, I think it was a lot of the submission. Like, you had a hard time, like, and maybe because I wasn't actually, I didn't have a vision. Mm. Like, what were you supposed to submit to? Mm. My mood? Anyway, all right, so we logging off of the podcast. Babe, how married are you?
I don't even know now.
I'm so married that you asked me to go get gummy bears the other day at 10 o'clock at night, and I didn't go. But the next day, I made sure I came home with gummy bears because I care about you. Even though I know it's not good for you, I still got you on gummy bears. And you're not even pregnant. You're just craving stuff. That's how married I am.
I might be pregnant. You're so married, you don't wear a wedding ring. I am so married. Wait, how did you start it off?
Babe, how married are you?
I am so married that I am confident when you walk outside of this house every single day without your wedding band on, that you're going to come back to me.
Ain't nobody looking at me. I tried. Just joking. No, I don't wear my wedding ring because I can't fit it. Mm-hmm. I'm too fat. Mm-hmm. I still got to lose like another 20 pounds in order to fit my wedding ring.
I'm so married that I'm so confident that you ain't going to let those little hussies get you.
All right. All right. Thank you guys for watching. And that's just how married we are.